Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss small tweaks that you can make to drive big performance improvements for your clients. Granted, there are a lot of different ways that we can define performance, but the tips that we're going to share with you today have implications for just about every metric that your clients are going to care about. Search engine rankings, site speed, conversion rates, and on and on. So, if you're looking for small changes you can recommend or implement yourself that will generate big results for your clients, I highly encourage you to get something in the right with before you get any further into this episode, because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side of the conversation to tie up any loose ends. So, without further ado, let's dive into my conversation with Chris. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. My name is James Sowers and I am joined once again by Mr. Chris Lemma. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. And I suspect, it looks like you're at home, I suspect the weather's good there because you always seem to gravitate towards places where they have nice weather.
Yes, San Diego always has nice weather. Like I'm not a chit-chat guy, and so we don't have any sports teams that compete. And our weather never changes, which means all the chit-chat disappears. So you can get straight into the stuff that you want to talk about. But it is wonderful weather here again.
Yeah, I'll take that cue. But it sounds like you made a good decision if that's the way that you like to handle things. So what are we talking about today? Today, we're going to be talking about store performance. And there are multiple elements that go into that. But really what we're going to focus on are small tweaks or specific tweaks that you can make to generate a big improvement in overall store performance. So I know we're going to talk about a handful of topics today. Is there somewhere that you want to start that you think the listeners might enjoy as a starting point?
Yeah, the easiest one, right? And one of the ones that has the most profound impact is on images, right? So if you go back 10 years, right? Maybe 15 years, you want to get fancy with e-commerce. Most of e-commerce 10 to 15 years ago was very small images, mostly like catalogs, lines of products, quantity boxes that you would fill in like an order form and then a checkout, right? And so when you lived in that world, right, of, you know, if you, as long as you weren't Amazon, right, if you were building your own store and people and selling things, the notion that you might have one image and your image might be 150 by 150 pixels. Well, that's gone, right? One of my favorite watchmakers is a company called Shinola, right? They're a US-based company and they do it all, you know, in I think it's Detroit, though the store I've been to is in Ann Arbor. They're a US-based company that does these beautiful watches. And you go to Shinola's website, right? And it is covered in images. And when you look at a specific watch, there's not only just the big image at the top, but they're master storytellers. And so they talk about every part of the watch, from the dial to the casing to the band to the box it's in, the underlying movement. And each one of those sections either has a beautiful large image or video. And you're scrolling through this page, reading the story. By the time you're done, you're like, oh, I have to have this watch, right? But the thing is, we normally just upload photos from our photographer. And the photographer is sending us a Dropbox filled with photos as if they were turning it into a magazine, right? When you print for a magazine or when you print for a billboard or whatever, high DPI, high dots per inch, right? The resolution of the image is critical. Now, granted, we are all, you know, running around with iPads and surfaces and things that have high resolution, but still not the same as in the print world. And so what happens is someone will send you a 5 megabyte image, right? Now, 5 megabytes doesn't sound like a lot, but when it comes to the web, right, and you want your site to load in less than 2 seconds, right, a 5 megabyte image will destroy your ability to load quickly. And more importantly, taking a 5 megabyte image and putting it on the screen, but you're only showing it as 400 by 400 pixels or 800 by 800 pixels means that everything but maybe the first 150 KB of that file are wasted, right? And you go, oh, well, I didn't know that. And you go, no, there'd be no reason for you to know that. But when you take a folder, a Dropbox folder of images, and you just upload them to your Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, whatever platform you have, you upload these big images, right? You're uploading images that are far larger than will ever be displayed, right? Now, some different hosting platforms will try and do some different things for it. I know for us at Liquid Web, where I work, when you upload a big image, we immediately start compressing it. But for a lot of people, when they're on a platform that doesn't auto-compress and change the resolution of that image, you're uploading images that are way too big, right? And so you can use services to send it over. There's a great one, right, called Kraken.io, which allows you to run around saying, release the Kraken. But there's tools, right? And you can upload full images and get the other ones down. There are other tools. There are utilities that go with different e-commerce platforms. But the main point here is not to get super technical. It's simply to say you would never, right? You say, oh, I'm really excited to take the photo, right? My daughter's school photo. And you would never say, oh, let's blow it up to 30 feet by 50 feet. And you're like, well, where are you going to put that in your house? And you're like, yeah, I guess I don't need that, right? You wouldn't. You would be like, ooh, a nice 8x10 would be nice. Well, the reality is the web needs 8x10s, right? And normally you're getting 20 by 30 foot images in relation. And you go, no, we don't need that, right? So optimizing your images, right? Not saying don't use images. I'm just saying optimizing your images is one of the single best things you can do to lower your page weight, right? Still have a beautiful looking site, lower your page weight and create a faster loading page, product page or the home page or whatever. But doing that will have a tremendous impact on stuff. We use a service called TinyPNG. That's a product that looks at both JPEGs and PNGs. But there's lots of tools out there, right? That will do it. So that's the first tip. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, and when I hear you talk about that, a couple of things that come to mind is you can't always, so these big, beautiful images, like you mentioned, are kind of table stakes now. Like all of the best, highest performing e-commerce stores have them. They want to show their product being used and in context, and they're big and they're beautiful. And you have a dozen pictures for each product, like even sneakers. Nike is showing sneakers at every conceivable angle, and they have 360 rotation things. So like, everybody's doing this, you're going to want to do this. One thing that I heard that I didn't specifically hear mentioned, but I think is also important is that you can't just resize an image and hope for that to, you know, take the effect that you want. It's about compression. It's about the file size, not the dimensions of the image. Because I think a lot of people might go in there and just say, if I shrink it, then it won't be as large. And that might be true, but you also might lose quality. So you don't want to do that. I'm also specifically interested in, forgive me if I'm taking your next point here, but I know that video is getting more popular too, and embedded videos can also be a source of headache for folks. So do you have any insights on that?
So one of the things that I find being really, really helpful is converting some of those videos to animated GIFs, right? Now, that's not for everything. So I want to be very clear. Some of these tips apply in different capacities to different kinds of stores. Like if you're selling a $170,000 vehicle, shoot the video, make it high def, make it go across the whole screen. People are, the right kind of person is willing to wait 3 extra seconds because they want to see this car, they want to buy this car, and their time, they're worth that time, right? Investment to wait because they know they're going to buy something big ticket, right? But you wouldn't do that when you're selling a new spatula, right? Because at $2 and it takes 3 seconds to load, and you're like, I'm moving on somewhere else. So it's all contextual. But animated GIFs are one of those things where you realize, what am I trying to show, right? What's the point of what I'm trying to show? And if I'm trying to show what it looks like at a different perspective or what it looks like in context to other things, I may not need the full weight of one single awesome video. I may be able to take this video and break it up into 4 or 5 animated GIFs that can be put along, you know, my storytelling of why this product is amazing, right? And so sometimes there's that. Other times, you know, if you're doing something really important and special, you're going to want to get a professional video team to, not just a professional video team to shoot the video, but specifically to do post-production work to get it appropriately sized for the screen, right? And make different, you're going to make different versions of it depending on what someone's coming to, right? What you load up on your phone, different than what you load on the desktop. And again, that code can exist. You can do that. You just need to be, you need to be working with a partner that's intelligent about doing it.
Yeah. You know, and maybe one other thing that I would mention in the great scheme of like images and video is just what you said, just be cognizant of how people access your site. Some folks are going to be on their phone, which they don't load as fast as like a desktop or a more powerful machine. And some folks just aren't going to have access to that Google Fiber internet. They're going to be in middle America, but they still want to buy Nikes, right? So they might not be able to load those images as fast as somebody else. So you have to think about the overall user experience, I would say, depending on all these different spectrums of people that might be accessing your site. So what's the next tip that you might have for folks to improve performance?
So another one is called a CDN, right? And a CDN is the easiest way to think about this, right? Is if you imagine, right? If you imagine that different people are visiting you from different parts of the country or the world, what you want is to shrink the distance they have to go to get your content, right? You want to shrink the distance. So if you were running a military operation, right? You wouldn't store all your armament, all your military stuff. You wouldn't all store like all in Ohio and then be like, okay, if they're fighting in California, we'll just truck it over to California. And if we're fighting in New York, we'll just truck it over. You wouldn't do that, right? You would create these little depots and you'd put stuff all around the country so that you could get to whatever you needed quicker, right? That's what a CDN is for your website. You make copies of your site into these different places all across the country and across the globe so that when people come to it, they get your copy faster because they're actually going the shortest distance possible. Company that does this, one of the more well-known ones, is a company called Cloudflare, right? And people say, oh, you can do that with regular websites, right? But it's much harder with e-commerce. And it's true, you should do all your optimizations that you can before resulting in this. But this is one of those that can have a really profound impact fairly quickly, right? Is that you spin up even a free account at Cloudflare, right? And then you basically say, hey, listen, we're going to go into this section where we have what are called page rules. And we're going to create exception, right? And the exception is your slash cart, your slash checkout, and your slash like my account. Those are the places where you want to make sure that people are hitting the servers where the latest data is. You don't necessarily want a copy of something because, you know, if you just pulled up the local version of your checkout or your cart, it might be empty, right? And everyone's would be empty. And you're like, no, everyone needs their own version. So you would give these exception rules, and Cloudflare's free plan even gives you three exceptions, which is what you would want necessarily. But other than that, right, everything else that you're doing would get cached. So you would make copies of all your product photos, and you'd make copies of your product copy and all that stuff. And so it would load faster simply because it's loading from copies that are closest to you, right? So a content delivery network or a CDN is a relatively inexpensive and quick hit. And you can get fancier, right? You can pay for some of their premium plans and then you can start adding more rules and doing other things. But a CDN can end up making your site a lot faster.
You know, my gut reaction to that is the vast majority of stores probably aren't on a CDN right now. So as a store builder, you can either build it from the ground up on one, or that sounds like a tidy little migration project that you could sell to somebody as well. And you could sell the value of the improved performance as the outcome and say, why don't you pay me to migrate your site to a CDN and hear all the, you know, positive impacts that'll happen from that.
And the beautiful thing is it's not even a full migration. It literally is just a configuration of your site and the CDN. The CDN player itself does all the propagation to all the different sites. So you don't even have to do a lot of work. So you're right. It is a very simple approach. And there's a whole bunch of store builders who presume that store owners know about this. And then eventually they don't talk about it because they're like, well, that's the store owner's issue. And then the store owner's like, I didn't even know this was possible. Or I thought it was specifically not possible. And you're like, no, let's go figure it out. I have never told a customer, hey, you can make your site faster if you want to spin up this. There's a free plan. There's also paid. And they've said, no, I'd like my store slow, right? No one's ever said that. They're like, yeah, please, whatever we can do, let's go do it, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a great opportunity for especially an early win. Like if you're just starting out with a client and you're still building that trust and rapport and you want to position yourself as like an expert and a value add, just pitch that. And if you get them a faster site and they start seeing results from that early on, then that's that goodwill, right? That you can come back and sell them a larger project and increase the value of the relationship. So I love what I'm hearing there. And I know that site speed that we're talking about here has some secondary and tertiary effects around like search engine optimization. I don't know if that's one of your tips. This might be a good segue into that if that's something you were going to talk about.
Well, we'll cover that, but I want to get to another one that is often people make a single decision when they should be making a recurring decision. And that is related to where you're hosting your site, right? And this isn't a specific plug for a specific host, because the truth is all hosts go through this process. Think about it from the host perspective, right? If you're not using a hosted solution, if you're building with a Magento or a WooCommerce or anything where you put the code, craft commerce, you're putting it on your own servers, you're renting a server somewhere, the hosting company that buys that equipment and then wants it to last as long as possible. So if you move your site to that infrastructure right after they made a new purchase, it's going to be really fast because they bought the latest stuff. But then they're going to want that stuff to last as long as possible. So by the time you're out here, 2 years hosting at the same place, you made that one decision. You picked that one host. They were the best host at that moment. But 2 years later, you haven't started the process, or even, you know, 18 months later, you haven't started the process of evaluating, are they still the best host, right? Because you're like, I made that decision once, I don't have to make it again. And that's incorrect, right? The best thing you can do in terms of like literally change no code, do nothing else, is potentially move from a slower underlying hardware instance, right, to a faster one. And because hosts have their normal timeline for how often they're going to make another investment in more hardware, you could potentially move the store once every 2 years, and every time you do it, get an increment and boost of performance simply because you're on newer hardware that's doing better, right? And so one of the things I tell people all the time, even though I work in the hosting game, right, is I tell people constantly evaluate that, because it didn't cost me, you know, assuming you keep the same exact platform, the same exact code, the same exact theme, the same exact everything, settings, order numbers, everything. You keep everything the same and you just move it from one server to another, which, you know, will take a little bit of work. You got to plan it. It's not a zero effort game, but it is not changing code and changing configure. You just move it over. If you got a 20% boost in performance, would that ever not be worth it? Right? You'd say, no, this is a no-brainer. I got to do it. So look at your hosting as a decision that you're doing regularly or recurring rather than as a single point of decision-making. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And, you know, I had a similar experience on a personal front, because I had a certain internet service provider. They got acquired by a larger company. And, you know, I just thought, okay, that's fine. My bill comes with a different logo on it. No difference. And then I started having performance issues with my internet connection here at home. And I finally called to get some customer support. And the short version of the story is they basically told me that this new acquirer had much better hardware. They just don't install it unless you call and ask for it. And I know that, you know, that's staying with the same entity, but it sounds like what you're describing is, you know, you sign on with somebody and they have the latest, greatest hardware. And a couple of years later, it's outdated, but they're not on their replacement schedule yet. So it's worth it for you to go and shop around to some other providers who may have better performance in the moment and switch to them. And that can generate a 20% or even higher improvement. And that's the easy switch that generates better performance.
Yep. And sometimes it's just as easy as just calling them and saying, I want to leave. And they go, wait, what? No, hold on. Then they go look at your site and they're like, ooh, you're not on our fastest stuff. Can we move you to our fastest stuff? And you're like, okay, I'll stay.
Right. So it's like your cable provider in that context.
It is, right? So then we were talking about speed. All of this is stuff that changes speed and helps you get faster. And maybe one of the questions people ask is, well, what do I care about speed, right? And I will tell you, right? Google looks at your speed of your store, right? Everybody has a story of when Amazon was like, oh, you know, a 1 second delay costs us this much. I don't like to use that story because you're not Amazon, right? So you don't have the same traffic volumes and you don't have the same revenue volumes. So starting to quote Amazon for your store is kind of a misnomer. But what is important is how Google thinks of your store as it relates to its objective. And its objective is helping people, right? Google believes, right, whether you believe it or not, Google believes they're helping people by bringing the right stuff, the discoverability of the internet, they're bringing the right stuff to the surface for you to choose. And one of the ways they evaluate whether you're trying to be helpful to end users, is the speed of your site or store. If your store loads in longer than 2.5, 2.7 seconds, they presume that you do not care about speed and customers. And if they presume that you don't care about customers, they don't show you. So you don't get a lift up to the homepage, right? And that's a problem, right? Because if you're not on the first page, nobody's going to page two to look for anything, right? So part of the dynamic for you has to be caring about speed because Google cares about speed, right? Now, of course, what we also know is that speed plays out in terms of all these other little things. We were talking about SEO, we were talking about positioning on their search results. There's a lot of other benefits, but the biggest one is whether Google cares about you or not. If Google takes you off their list of things to care about, then it's game over for you, right? Like you'll just have to do paid search, paid social all day long, right? Pay for Facebook ads, pay for Instagram ads. But if you can get that free traffic, right? If you can get Google to send traffic your way, that's much better. And to do that, you have to be fast, right? So, and you have to have, you have to make sure that your store or site is indexable. You want to make sure that the structure of your data for your product reviews is using schema so that Google can interpret it. I don't know if you've ever done this, right? You go to Google, you type in, men's hats, right? And all of a sudden you see some results where they're saying, oh, this is a 4 out of 5 star rating. And you go, how'd they get their ratings right there? Right? Well, that's because of the way the structured data exists on the product page, right? And that's something called schema. And if that isn't there, then Google can't pull it out and show it over here, right? And they like to do that because they like to give people what they perceive to be the best, most clickable option for customers. So there's a lot of things you want to do. Think about that. But speed's one of those big ones. And it's why we spend all this time talking about speed and performance, is because at the end of the day, you want the discoverability from Google. At the end of the day, you want customers to stick around. A stat that I tell people a lot is when your store takes more than 2 seconds to go from page to page within the store, right? When it takes more than 2 seconds to go from one page to another page to another page, and it's just waiting on that loading, it normally cuts people's length on your site, right? The session length down by 50%, right? And if your people are leaving leaving in half the time they would normally spend, right? That's bad news for you. We all care about revenue. Now, if we care about revenue, right, whether you're the store owner or the store builder, right, you're going to want to make sure people stay. Because I know this is not rocket science, but it turns out that the conversion part of it, the checkout and the payment, is always in the second half of their session. Mm-hmm. So if you're cutting their session in half, you're cutting out that conversion, right? So this is why speed and performance is such a big deal.
Yeah, and I totally relate to that because I've had some sites that load slowly. And, in this day and age, like you said, slow is 2, 3, 4 seconds, something like that. I have actually checked my internet connection to see if the Wi-Fi dropped off in some cases. And it makes me question the trust that I have in that site because you just don't know what's going on. So that can be super misleading.
What people do these days is that they'll do a Google search, right? If they don't, 50% of all e-commerce traffic starts at Amazon. So let's just take that out for 1 second, right? 50% of all the traffic, or 49% of all the traffic starts at Amazon. That's just what that is. But let's talk about the other 50%, right? You go to Google, you do a search, and you're like, I want to look for, men's hats with short brims, right? Something like that, right? Or, leather basketball shoes or leather backpacks or whatever. You put in a term. You get a long list of things. Then you get those ads and then you get a list of things. You know what more and more people do is they right click and they say, open as a new tab, 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 right? And so all of a sudden you have 6 tabs that are the things that Google thinks you ought to look at. But as you're clicking on the tabs, right? Let's say you do that for 6 or 7 items. As you click on each tab to look at what shows up, if by now it's 2 seconds later and you're clicking on a tab and there's nothing there, people just close the tab. They just remove it from what's available. And so nobody even knows the name of your store, right? Like when I was right-clicking and opening up links, I didn't read it to go, let me know who's making. I'm just like right-click, 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 right-click. Then when I'm clicking over, I never saw your homepage. I never saw your banner. I don't know your name because it didn't load. So I'd hit close. And so the only players I'm looking at are players that load fast, right? And that's a problem for a slow store, because it's not even like you have a chance later for someone to go, huh, you know what? Let me go back and take a look at that. They don't even know your name. So, and then of course, you know, if it's really slow, it doesn't even show up on the homepage. So it behooves every store builder, right, from the beginning to ask. And this is maybe my last tip in terms of performance. And that is, put an associative boost, a score, a revenue allocation to every single feature request a customer gives you. Every time a customer says, can we do X, Y, or Z? Your answer should not be, yes, we can, or let's go see if we can, right? It's not a can question. It's a should question, right? And the should question, should we do that, is always tied, or should always be tied, to a revenue increase. If someone's talking about doing something and you're not sure how it ties to revenue, if they're not sure how it ties to revenue, remove it. You will speed up your site just by taking away a lot of stuff that someone thought, this sounds like a good idea. And all they're doing is just adding weight to the site, right? Remove it. Be ruthless. If it's not driving revenue, remove it. If you can't connect the dots to the revenue and you're hearing new requests, your job as a store builder, right, is to say no more than yes, right? Is to say why, or is to say should we, or is to say can we connect this dot? And even if someone has a hypothesis, I want this whole new feature, right? I had a client once who was like, I want to do this whole feature with maps and planes and where they fly and routes and prices. It's a whole application, and we're going to spend $100,000 to build this application within a broader e-commerce play, a membership play. And the question was, we're going to spend all that money. How much money do we think it's going to add net in revenue for memberships, right? Oh, it's going to be huge. Great. Let's define what we think it's going to be. Then let's make a smaller, you know, instance of it that doesn't cost us all $100,000. And then let's measure to see if we saw a lift. And if we don't see a lift, can we agree that we're going to kill that project, right? And it's not my side, it's their side, right? But as a store builder, my job is to protect them from mistakes they might make, right? And they don't want to learn on the job. And I don't want them to learn on the job. I want to protect them from those mistakes, right? And so I'll say, whoa, hold on, let's tie revenue to every single feature. Let's tie an understanding of what we're doing, because everyone's going to chase what Amazon's doing. Everyone's going to chase what Shopify's doing. Everyone's going to chase something else. But if you're just copying someone's moves and you don't know why, you're burning money. And what's worse is you could be potentially making your site a lot slower.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of those marketing modals and share buttons and live chat widgets. I mean, they all sound great and everybody's telling you that they're using them to great effect, but that might not necessarily work for your store and your customer base. So I love your tip about kind of dip your toe in the water. How can we reduce the scope, test this out, measure it, and see if it's worth doubling down on and still move forward in that direction? So great place to wrap it up there, I think, Kristen. We've shared a bunch of insights today. I know that you probably have half a dozen more, or maybe even more than that. So we might have to come back around with part two, but that's enough for people to like get their punch list, get their to-do list for this week, and go see what they can do for their clients. So thank you so much for your time today, Kristen. We'll have you back, I'm sure, to do another round of this. We've got some other site tweaks that'll drive performance too.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Take care.
So there you have it. That wraps up our conversation about small tweaks that you can make to generate meaningful performance improvements for your store building clients. Let's quickly recap what we talked about today. First, we talked about the importance of compressing, not just resizing, the images and video that you use on your site. We all want to have beautiful images and video that present our products in context and help us convert more prospects into customers, but we need to be aware of where and how our customers access our site. If somebody doesn't have a high-speed internet connection, those slow loading times can really affect conversions and hold you back from the performance that you know that your site is capable of. Second, we talked about using a CDN, or a content delivery network, and that's basically shrinking the distance between the user and the information that's presented on your site. So if somebody's in California, they will access your site using a server that's in close physical proximity to California and will deliver that site much faster than if it had to ping all the way back to New York City or somewhere else in the world. And this helps customers access your site faster, helps your site run faster, and it improves your visibility in search rankings because Google knows that you are committed to serving your customers and providing them with a better experience. Next, we talked about where you host your site and the impact that that can have on site speed, because a lot of hosting providers will upgrade their hardware all at one time. And these things happen infrequently, but they happen in waves. So if you come in right after the hardware's been updated, it's going to run quickly, it's going to run smoothly, you're not going to have any downtime. But over time, that hardware gets older and older and older, and they want to hang on to it. So switching to another hosting provider that recently updated can improve site speed and improve your overall experience that you're delivering to your customers. So that's something that you could consider and something that is a very easy tweak to make. And finally, we talked about the importance of tying a revenue allocation or a return on investment, a financial return on investment, to every single feature request that you get from your clients. So that changes the question from, can we do this, to should we do this? And we make sure that every investment we make from a time and energy perspective is recouping that investment in the form of additional purchases or a higher conversion rate or some other kind of financial metric that's delivering better results for our clients. So I hope you enjoyed our conversation and you took note of something that you can start applying in your business in the near future. And I also hope that if you haven't already done so, you'll consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, we're wishing you all the best in life and in business, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.